Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
As sports keeps coming back, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline.ag. Major League Baseball and the NBA are in full swing, and there are no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Also, tune in as Floyd Money Mayweather joins the BetOnline team in a new segment called The Ice is Right, where he talks about his expansive jewelry collection. He'll give you the chance to win some great prizes and bet on the cost of his bling. Visit BetOnline.ag today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today.
Bells fans, I'm your host and contributor to the Bird Rights and Bleacher Report, Preston Ellis. Yesterday, we spoke to PJ Washington. If you haven't heard that podcast, please be sure to check that out. But today, we are speaking with Tim Livingston of the Whistleblower Podcast. Now, the Whistleblower is an incredibly detailed, as well as reported, account of Tim Donaghy's time in the NBA. It investigates his role in fixing games, as well as questions whether the buck stops with him. Were others involved? How deep did the scandal go? Well, we're about to find out. Again, if you like what you're hearing, please follow us at The Bird Calls NO and follow Tim at Tim Likes Sports. Here's Tim. All right, Tim, we just talked a bit off the air about 2020 certainly being a strange year. We both had our first children within a week of each other as this thing kicked off, which is pretty crazy. How have you been handling everything from being a new dad to the pandemic, peaceful protests, suspension of games, suspension of the entertainment industry? How have you guys been doing?
Been doing all right, Preston. Thank you for asking. I'm happy that we're not immediately jumping into the darkness that is the Tim Donaghy NBA scandal. We've been good, man. It's been bizarre. Cadence 13, who's one of the partners along with Tenderfoot TV in producing the podcast, has this awesome studio about a mile from our apartment here in LA. And for the first, in February, for about a week and a half, we were going over there and just working out there. And I felt extremely lucky to have this studio so close. And we were going to get to work with some of the best audio professionals in the world and blah, blah, blah. And now the last 6 months, we've been doing this podcast completely remote. I have a microphone in my room. I have, you know, just like, basically recording all my VO for this podcast during whatever gaps I can find between gardeners mowing, which is happening right now. I apologize if you're picking that up. Police helicopters, babies crying, and everything else. But for the most part, doing well, man. It's been a crazy 2020, but luckily we can do a lot of this stuff remotely now.
Yeah, absolutely. Like this conversation we're having right now, you said you're in your home. I'm in my closet, which is typically where I do this, because if I wake up my daughter, Grace, that's pretty much the end of my marriage. So I'm trying my best to be quiet at this point. Let's go ahead and talk about your podcast. I've listened to the first three episodes. It's exceptional. It very much feels like a mystery thriller, the way that it's produced. There's so many different topics you could have tackled. However, you chose to tackle this one because when people think about officiating, they usually associate it with mistakes, whether it be like the blown pass interference call by Bill Vinovich in the Saints-Rams games or Game 7 of Kings-Lakers. I want to say that was like 2001. But primarily, I think a lot of people, at least in basketball, think about, as you preface, Tim Donaghy. After the Suns-Spurs game in 2007, Bill Simmons wrote, "Not since the cocaine era from 78 to 86 has the league faced a bigger ongoing issue than crappy officiating." Talk about, this has been a passion project of yours for 8 years, I heard on the podcast. Can you talk about the inception of this podcast and what made you so passionate about telling this story?
I think this story for me has been bubbling, not just for the last 8 years as I've gotten to know Tim Donaghy and pursued his side of the story. I think it goes back to when I played basketball as a kid. As a youngster, Preston had a hot temper, got thrown out of many games at an age when you shouldn't be not only thrown out of game, but even arguing with officials. I was like an 8-10 year old just yelling and being a little asshole. hope we get cussing this. I think we're good.
Sure, man, go for it.
So then when I got a little older, maybe like 12-13, I realized that officials are human, and if you want to benefit from calls, if you want to get calls instead of not get calls, you have to cozy up to them, you have to joke with them, you have to make them your friend. And I only played basketball up until my sophomore year of high school, but it's something that I saw as a flaw in the game that could be exploited one way or another. And I think that is where the original fascination comes from, is how much power those two or three officials have, two in a high school game, or three officials in an NBA game have on the game. And it's not good. The point of a sport is that the athletes compete against each other, and you want the officials, you want that variable to be as minimal as possible. Not to go on a tangent, but for me, I'm a big baseball fan. The electronic strike zone for me is the last step in baseball for that sport becoming almost unmanipulatable, if that's a word. Baseball is really close to becoming a game where the umpires have almost no effect on the game. It's just the players. And the NBA, still to this day, referees have a huge effect on the game. So it goes all the way back to when I was a kid. And then as an adult, watching those games, the 2002 Lakers-Kings series, the 2006 NBA Finals, Dallas and Miami, and just countless games where I just couldn't believe that in the incredible ineptitude of the officials just didn't seem like there was something more there. And when Donaghy came out and said what he said, it made sense to me. And I think it made sense to a lot of basketball fans. And so I think we're at a point now where 13 years later, more people are willing to talk about it, more players. We have coaches, we have more writers, just people who didn't want to talk about it 13 years ago because it was so sensitive, and because NBA writers wanted the NBA to exist and thrive and didn't want to necessarily investigate this incredibly dark thing that happened to the game that we all love, which I understand. So I think the timing was right. And for me, the journey, it's been, I guess, hyperbole aside, a lifelong journey to get to this point and tell this story.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely want to get back to present day, which you were just talking about, and how we can identify it in today's games, or how we can look for it. But I want to bring up Rajah Bell's comments on the NBA Ringer show when he assessed his relationship with Kobe Bryant in a previous game, probably dating back 10 years, maybe more, where Kobe said to the official, "Call this one straight." And he said Rajah had one of the best games of his career. He had 24 points that night. In many ways, he outplayed Kobe Bryant that night just because Kobe mentioned that to the official, and he wondered if it had some kind of grandiose effect on the way that the game was called. But before we get into that and how it could still be transpiring, I want to continue on Tim Donaghy for a moment. On the podcast, he mentioned, or you mentioned, that his story has remained the same through the years for the most part, but there are some discrepancies that don't add up. For instance, he says he never bet on his own games. He says he only made $30,000 despite incredible sums of money being moved that you assessed on your podcast. Can you talk a bit more about the volume of money that was being moved at this point in time and how far his specific scandal might have gone?
I would love to talk. First off, let's come back to Rajah Bell, because I had never heard that quote, and that's awesome. But when it comes to Donaghy and the money, yeah, he claims that he was winning 80% of his picks. So as anybody who's ever placed a bet before or gone to Las Vegas before, if you're winning 80% of whatever you're wagering on, then you keep wagering. You don't wager $2,000 a game, and you don't play with peanuts when you can essentially print money. So Donaghy claims that he only made $30,000 despite having this ability to win almost every game that he bet on. I think 80% is conservative. I think he was winning closer to 90. So the idea that Donaghy himself only walked away during the 4 years that he was betting on his own games and manipulating and fixing his own games, that he only accumulated $100,000 total is laughable. But now we're talking about for the height of the scheme, when things got really big, the idea that he only took home $30,000 is even more laughable. So Donaghy himself, the money that he was getting, it's incalculable. We think that Donaghy was betting with more than two people. We know based on the court records, he was betting with Jimmy Baba Batista. That was the scandal. Jack and Cannon is a guy he had bet with for years. We think Donaghy was betting with a lot of other people, including, as a couple people on our podcast speculate, Scott Foster, a current NBA referee. Anybody who's listening to this that follows the NBA knows Scott Foster. That Scott Foster might have been placing bets for Donaghy as well. So Donaghy, for him personally, he was telling a lot of people. They were probably feeding him back cash. We'll never have any idea how much money Donaghy made from the scandal, but having visited him in Florida, he's doing quite well. We'll just put it that way. And then part two of that is the games. So each one of these games, and Donaghy didn't really understand this part of the scheme, but when he made a pick, there was a lot of people that were aware that when Tim Donaghy bet a game, that as soon as you saw little line movement, that you better put some money in that game because the fix was in. So millions upon millions upon millions of dollars were moving on each Tim Donaghy game by people that knew Donaghy's pick from the jump, and by people that were just piggybacking off of the line movement that they saw for each individual game. So we're talking about hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars that moved just on Tim Donaghy's games over the course of this scandal. Potentially billions of dollars being bet and won and lost by other bettors who weren't aware of the scheme, based on Donaghy's picks alone.
2020 has been the year of things happening that are completely out of your control. But there is one thing you can control, and that's shaving your bush. Our sponsors at Manscaped are here to remind you to do so. The Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 is a premium electric trimmer that's designed to give you a confidence boost through body image. Their ceramic blade and skin-safe technology are designed to reduce nicks or tugs on your fellows down low. The Lawnmower 3.0 is also waterproof and comes with an LED light, so you can manscape in the shower, in the dark, or in a dark shower, whatever floats your boat. They also just released their Shears 2.0 Nail Kit, which is the perfect add-on to their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. The Shears 2.0 Nail Kit allows you to pluck your eyebrows and trim your nails in style. On their website, you'll also find the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. And this will help you tame that summer swamp ass with natural hydrators and antioxidants. You'll also find the Crop Reviver, a testy toner that's like having cologne that is designed for your balls. Go to manscaped.com and check out some of these life-changing products. In fact, listeners of this show will get 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code armchair. It's time to grab 2020 by the horns by shaving that front trunk. As sports keeps coming back, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, betonline.ag. Major League Baseball and the NBA are in full swing, and there are no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Also, tune in as Floyd Money Mayweather joins the BetOnline team in a new segment called The Ice is Right, where he talks about his expansive jewelry collection. He'll give you the chance to win some great prizes and bet on the cost of his bling. Visit betonline.ag today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
It's truly incredible. And something I want to mention that you cover in your podcast is that Tim Donaghy himself assessed that he was betting or advising that he told others to bet on referees because he knew their instincts. He knew how they handled players like Kevin Garnett, for example. We can't avoid it. Let's go ahead and get to Scott Foster, because even though Tim Donaghy has been out of the NBA for quite some time, questionable officiating hasn't gone anywhere. In what was a critical game two after the Rockets took game one against the Lakers, and I called it on Twitter, PJ Tucker was given a quick second foul minutes into the first quarter, and you can go back and look in the tape and try to find that foul. In that game, Scott Foster called the Rockets for 18 fouls while the Lakers were assessed just five by him. And I think the Lakers got out to a 21-point lead, but PJ Tucker being off the floor really hurt their chances. I think he was a positive 14 plus minus in his 34 minutes. Typically, he plays somewhere around like 38 to 40 minutes. And I want to go back to a series you may not have seen, 2017, 2018. The Pelicans were playing the Golden State Warriors in round two. In game one, The Warriors had 32 foul shots to just 11 for the Pelicans. In game two, a game that the Pelicans lost by just 5 points, it was 27-9. In game three, 26-12. That's when Alvin Gentry finally said something and got fined. Now, you might say, well, the Golden State Warriors are the best team in the NBA. They won the finals that year. However, out of 16 playoff teams, they were 12th in foul shots, despite those heavy numbers in those three games. They were 22nd in the regular season overall. However, they were getting 30 foul shots per game. How likely or unlikely, in your estimation, is it that this is still happening?
It's definitely still happening, and that's the problem with basketball. And we love the sport, but ultimately, this is going to be something that plagues the sport forever until we get it right. The PJ Tucker picking up two quick fouls. I mean, the devices, the tools in a referee's toolbox to influence a game are the same. They've always been the same. That was one of the big revelations we made in episode two. We thought, you know, two quick fouls, a T there. Just subtle manipulation of the game is how referees manipulate games. And then Donaghy, it's revealed by his co-conspirator Tommy Martino in episode two that Donaghy would just use the out of bounds line and just call players out of bounds that weren't out of bounds if he had money on them. I mean, the tools in a referee's toolbox are endless. And it's really, that's what it hurts, because I did watch that Pelicans team was awesome. That was 2 years ago. That was when they swept Portland the first round, right?
Yeah, and if I can just get in there for a second, I want you to expand on this as well. We can talk about sports bettors, but we can also talk about the NBA. The Pelicans just obliterated the Blazers 4-0. At that point, from the NBA standpoint, you have to be fearful that the Pelicans could continue that run and eliminate who's your biggest dollar maker in the NBA, and Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. You don't want those guys getting eliminated. So giving the Warriors that 2-0 bump almost guarantees that they take the series.
100%. And that's where, again, this, you and I having this conversation would be labeled by a lot of people as conspiracy theorists. But after doing this podcast, and this is where we get to in episode 10, I don't think in 7 weeks when we finish our podcast that the label conspiracy theorists, for people that talk about the NBA having a motive in which team wins a playoff series, will exist anymore. I think it's going to be my hope after the culmination of this podcast that people look back at those series and series that happened today and realize that the NBA in a lot of these series, whether they want to admit it or not, they'll never admit it, but have a motive, right? I mean, Golden State needed to be in the finals, 100%. They needed to play the Cavaliers in the finals. That was a foregone conclusion at the beginning of the playoffs, and you guys were red hot. I remember I was in New York watching, I think, game two of that series. And yeah, you guys have Anthony Davis, who's the best low post player in the league, versus a jump shooting team. And I mean, I remember, again, it's hard for me, Preston, because I watch every NBA game and pay more attention to the referees at this point than the players, probably, which is something I need to work on. But yeah, I remember game two of that series. I remember there being some dubious foul calls, and it's something that's going to plague the NBA until they get it right. And there's some systematic things that they need to do to improve the system. And that's probably first and foremost having the referees not employed by the NBA. Something that Phil Jackson and multiple others have said for decades upon decades. As long as the referees are employed by the NBA, as long as they're not part of a separate entity that has no, that doesn't care about which team makes the finals, that just is calling fouls that are fouls, and that's their only prerogative. Until that happens, we're going to be talking about this and speculating and picking apart these games, because those free throw discrepancies are massive. I mean, we interviewed George Karl, and he pointed out a game that wasn't even on our radar. 1993 Game 7 Western Conference Finals, the Suns shot 64 free throws in that game.
Wow.
64. That should, in a playoff game, are you kidding me? Against the Sonics, who shot 36, and the referees in that game, guess who? Yeah, I'm sure you can name at least two of them off the top of your head, right? Bavetta, Crawford, et cetera. So it's a problem. And the NBA, until they create some sort of system that where the referees don't give a flying you know what about who wins the game, they're just focused on calling fouls. There's nothing in their head about what the NBA wants, because they know what the NBA wants. NBA wants the Warriors, right? So until that happens, this is just going to keep repeating itself. It needs to change.
Yeah, the effect of these games is incalculable, because just 6 months later, you've got Anthony Davis sitting down for dinner with LeBron James. A month after that, requesting out of town. Who's to say if they don't advance past the Warriors, they play the Rockets, who they played well in the regular series. There's just no telling how life might have turned out differently. But before I let you go, I do want to address something, because when fans typically associate like officials with fixing games, to coin the term, they typically think of egregious calls, but officials are very capable of throwing games while still making correct calls, whether it be calling something as uncommon as an illegal defense call, infringing the paint one moment before a foul shooter has released the ball, or deciphering between a charge and a blocking foul is another common one. Can you talk a little bit about how an official can do his job perfectly on paper and still curb games?
So Donaghy was one of the highest rated officials in the NBA at the height of the scandal. And that's because he was making technically correct calls that most officials don't make, and enforcing them with bias, obviously. And that's the problem, right? Is the NBA refereeing is so subjective. There can essentially be an illegal screen on every single, or an illegal defense or some sort of foul or infraction on every single possession. Right, a good referee their job is to create balance and call a game fairly for both sides. And the foul, the free throws, and fouls at the end of a game, barring one team just being the going back and being like the late 80s, early 90s Pistons. Those things should be really even. And so Donaghy was able to, and referees just in general are able to manipulate a game within the rules. And that's what we interviewed Michael Franzis, who was a capo in the Colombo crime family, who ran a large-scale bookmaking operation and had several referees on his payroll. That's what he said. It's not hard to fix an NBA game, Preston. And that's the problem, is fixing an NBA game isn't hard. It's easy. And it's easy because of the subjectivity of refereeing. Today, with going back to baseball and an umpire, if a guy was just calling everything a strike, balls were bouncing in the dirt and he was calling it a strike, if that would get destroyed on social media and everywhere else. If an NBA referee is putting two quick fouls on, a team's highly valued role player and shifting the course of the game accordingly in the first 5 minutes of a game, those are things that we as fans can speculate that there's a motive, but we can't definitively prove that. And that's the problem.
Now, I definitely want to tease these, if I haven't mentioned before, some fun stories involving Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan, as well as 134 shared phone calls between Tim Donaghy and Scott Foster. Just want to throw those out there. Because I've taken up a good bit of your time, and there's so much we can talk about. I find this so interesting, and I've listened to the three episodes thus far that have been made available to me. But just in terms of this podcast, obviously, you're very passionate about it. Obviously, this is an aspect of the story that you wanted to be told, because it hasn't been told. You referenced yourself on the podcast how Tim Donaghy thanked you for telling his side of the story. But what do you, Tim, what do you hope people will take from this story? What message do you want them to hear and walk away from this with?
It's a great question. Ultimately, I want people to look at the system as a whole and determine whether or not the current basketball currently is a fair athletic competition, or whether it's closer to something else, whether it's closer to wrestling, whether it's just entertainment. And I think we as fans need to really question the system and determine what we want out of basketball. Do we want to just watch the Warriors versus the Cavs every year if there's an upstart, young, hungry team that wants to knock one of these teams off the pedestal and could do so in five games? They're just red hot and going nuts. Like, what do we want? And I know the answer for me. I want a fair athletic competition, Preston. I'm sure it's the same for you. But I think that's a big question we have to ask, is what do we want sports to be and what do we want basketball to be? And that's the question that we're investigating ultimately, because I personally, as a fan throughout this era and still this exists today, I think there's too much professional wrestling in basketball. I think it's entertaining enough. I just want it to be a fair playing field, even playing field for everybody involved.
No, it's a terrific quote. One I'm that's going to stick with me. I know for myself, and I think I can speak for probably everyone listening to this podcast, is that we don't want to watch officials. We want to watch the game. We love the game. We love the players. There's enough drama without anything else tangled into it. This has been fascinating. The podcast is fascinating. It's Whistleblower. You can follow it on Twitter at WhistleblowerTF. You can follow Tim at Tim Like Sports. Tim, is there anything we haven't covered that you want our listeners to take away from this conversation?
Ah, man. I thought we were going to talk about Rajah Bell for an hour and a half.
Oh, sure. We can talk about he's on the Ringer podcast. I highly encourage you to listen to him. He's been an incredible addition to that network. And he does have, it was probably 2 to 3 episodes ago, but you can find it on NBA Ringer Show. You can find Rajah Bell talking to, the name escapes me. I want to say Logan, but he has this great conversation about Kobe Bryant and about Kobe's relationship to officials. Sorry, you can go ahead and expand on what you were saying.
No, it's great. I mean, I'm like half joking, but I'm just so fascinated by all the personal stories from this world. And yeah, it's super interesting to think about, you know, Kobe Bryant became Kobe Bryant. How much did he benefit from referees giving him Kobe Bryant calls instead of Rajah Bell calls? It's something we investigate in this podcast, the idea that instead of every call and every game and every play being called just based on the rule book, this idea that the stars are going to get the star calls. And it's something we've kind of accepted as basketball fans that I don't think we should accept going forward.
Yeah, and I think you made an excellent analogy to professional wrestling, because given it in a vacuum, one game, anything can happen despite an official's strongest efforts. Even if they're throwing 64 foul shots to one team's side, there still exists the possibility that the other side could overcome them. But over the course of 7 games, it's monumentally more difficult if an official is curbing, let's say, 6 points, as you referenced in your podcast, from game to game, for a team to overcome that. And I told you I was going to get you out of here, but how much do you think that a 7-game series actually inhibits the way that we can have those Cinderella type stories?
Oh, man, it's a really good question. It shouldn't, right? It should just be a fair, even playing field, and the best team should win. And if the Pelicans in 2018 are red hot, and Holiday and Davis are clicking, and we've all played, and most people listening to this, and most people in general, have played sports. We know what it feels like to be on fire and feel invincible, and to have a streak where you just, everything clicks and you're unstoppable. And those teams should not be hindered by the league wanting the additional revenue from a playoff series going 6-7 games, and shouldn't be hindered by referees having in their head that a certain team is going to make the NBA a lot more money if they advance the next round instead of, you know, if Team X goes instead of Team Y. So these are all the things that are a problem right now for the NBA that I hope this podcast brings to light, and that I hope we as fans can really rally around and make a difference in the system. That's the ultimate win for me as the creator and host of this podcast, and what I ultimately hope to achieve.
Thanks for listening, Pels fans. If you haven't already, make sure to listen to yesterday's podcast, including Hornets forward PJ Washington. And if you can do us one more favor, make sure to rate us and subscribe to us on iTunes. We've got new coaching search candidates on thebirdrights.com right now, so make sure to check that out. But for now, thanks for listening. Let's dance and let's go, Pels. Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.